We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today we are doing another live coaching call and I gotta tell you, these are becoming some of my favorite episodes. I hope you are enjoying them too. Today I am chatting with Tommy Hill of Little Happy Things. Tommy attended our Paper Camp conference in March of 2019 and she has been busy pivoting in her business. She moved away from handmade wooden dolls recently into things like enamel pins, stickers, and other gift items. And today we're talking about expanding into new product categories. So I hope you enjoy. Hey Tommy, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey Katie, I'm so glad to talk to you today.
I am super thrilled to talk to you too, because your question for today's episode is something that I am hearing over and over and over again in our alumni Facebook group, at our Paper Camp conference. And so I'm excited to dive a little bit deeper into it today. But before we jump into what your product line should look like, can you introduce yourself, tell everybody about your business, what you sell, and how long you've been doing this?
All right. My name's Tommy Hill. I started out, I think, like a lot of us do, just selling crafts, whatever I was making on Etsy. For several years, I had a pretty successful business selling little wooden dolls that I had painted. But it got to a point where I couldn't scale it any further because I was hand making every single thing. So I just ran into the time cap that we all hit.
Yeah.
And so I decided to take a leap of faith, quit doing that, realized soon after that I really loved designing the enamel pins and that my illustration style lent itself really well to that. And so I jumped headfirst into doing that. So now what you'll find in my shop is the enamel pins and stickers to go along with those, a few coloring books, kind of an eclectic mix still.
Very cool. How many SKUs do you have overall?
I have probably about 60 SKUs.
Okay.
In my main shop. And then last year it was probably super dumb, but my husband and I decided to start a second business. So I actually have a second brand also doing pins and stickers, but okay. For a totally different audience.
Okay.
And I have about 50 SKUs in that one as well.
Okay. I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Why don't you tell me what you're working on and what I can help you with specifically?
So my big challenge is making the leap from retail and selling things one-off in my Etsy shop to a more wholesale model so I can scale my business. I have four or five stockists that I do pretty well with. They're just kind of people that I've found organically or local shops that like specific things that I do and order pretty consistently. But I would love to figure out how to make the leap from retail to wholesale. Right now, I just feel like my collection's kind of all over the place and I'm not sure if it'll translate well to a wholesale catalog. And I don't know how to make it all fit together and organize it such that I can make that leap, I guess.
Okay. So you're curious about then product cohesion, basically, of like what creates a cohesive product line. But then I also knew you had asked if it's better to have fewer product categories with more SKUs underneath it or a wider range of product categories with just a few SKUs under it. Is that correct too?
Yeah, when I say product cohesion, like all of my SKUs right now are pins and stickers.
Right.
But I've got four or five different collections that those things fit into. Like I've got a faith-based collection and a travel collection and a Scandinavian style collection and all these things. And the style is fairly, you know, my style is pretty consistent throughout, but the audiences for the different collections are different. So right. I'm wondering, is that off-putting, or should I, you know, pick a few of the, you know, pick some of those categories to really focus on? And instead of having so many categories with so many different kinds of pins and stickers, mm-hmm. just have a couple of categories and add some cards in, you know, with my faith, like if I chose to focus on the faith-based ones, add some cards to go with that, add some pencils, gotcha. Add some different category product.
Right. Diversify the product categories for the audience that you're trying to serve. Okay. This is a great question. Do you know which of those collections or which of those audiences are your best customers? Which products sell the best or which categories sell the best?
And in my Etsy shop, it's really pretty even across the board. I sell a lot of the faith-based things, and that I think that's where I have spent the most time. Like that's kind of where I started out. So that's where a lot of my audience is coming from. I also, though, sell a ton of the Scandinavian inspired design because it's a pretty niche thing, but people love it. And so in those two categories, I would say I probably sell the most, but that's also the biggest chunk of my SKUs.
Okay. So it's the largest chunk. So of course you'd probably naturally have the largest percentage of sales. Okay. I'm like processing this as we're talking here. Sure. I think too, another follow-up question would be, which are you most excited about doing? Like, does the Scandinavian style, does that excite you more than like the faith-based stuff or some of the other like collections you're doing?
I think those two collections are definitely the most exciting to me.
Okay.
The Scandinavian design is super close to my heart. That's where my heritage is from. I used to live in Denmark. It's a big deal to me personally. And that's really the same with the faith-based stuff. Like that is the stuff that comes from my heart. Okay. And other things are kind of, good ideas that have come up, but, you know, and I love them and I do put a lot of heart into them, but they're not necessarily my top tier maybe.
Okay. So when I am working with clients like this, I would tell you to lean into the things that one, you're super excited about, and then two, the things that are selling best. And these have to be like in tandem, right? So the things that, I mean, the time you're investing in all of these is going to be equal because it's all the same types of product, but the passion, excitement, and then also the impact that you're doing. So that the impact and the time are pretty much the same. So now we need to look at it from a financial perspective of what's bringing the most money or attracting the widest audience, and then from a passion perspective of what are you most interested in, because that's going to be your driving force as you're starting to create other product categories, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like given the amount of SKUs you have that it sounds like your production costs are dialed in, that your production methods and your manufacturing partners are all dialed in. So it does seem to me like it's a natural time for you to layer in another product category. But I think your point about I'm talking to different audiences and it feels confusing, like that is a really common question. And so I don't think you need to, you know, get rid of all these other collections that you have that are for different people. But what I would encourage you to do is dive deeper into one or two of the collections that are working well for you, that are exciting for you to continue working in. And I would layer in one new product category at a time. I would not want you to try to do notebooks and greeting cards and, you know, tote bags and t-shirts, like all at the same time. I would rather that you figure out one piece at a time and figure out what your production costs are for each one and make sure that you're manufacturing with the right partners and you're happy with the quality. And then, you know, as you build out the number of SKUs in that product category, so let's say it's t-shirts or something, you know, like once you build out at least 6 to 12 of those products and you feel really good about how you're manufacturing it, how you're fulfilling it, your inventory systems and all of that, then you can layer in another process. And I know we're all so quick to like, I want to get this all out now. I want to release all of this at the same time. But I will tell you that slowly adding new categories and taking time to figure out that manufacturing process and fulfillment and knowing that your numbers are solid and your profit margins for each product are solid, that is going to enable you to have a stronger wholesale brand, which is what your specific goal is at this point, is to do more wholesale. So in terms of the product categories, meaning like what types of products, I think I would try to find something that is serving a need for your audience that you're speaking to with these different collections? What kind of things are they using in their day-to-day lives? What kind of things inspire them? Like, what would encourage them to purchase these products, both from a direct-to-consumer standpoint, as well as then, you know, that trickles into the stores and what they're selling as well, too. Because if your products are solving a problem for that particular audience, they're going to be more inclined to buy it, right? Mm-hmm. So what are you thinking about moving into next once you hone in on which audience you're speaking to?
Well, definitely the top thing that always comes to mind is cards, because I think probably just as an offshoot of having come to paper camp, and I used to make cards just, you know, for family and everything a ton. And so that always appeals to me. And then coming to paper camp and seeing everybody's amazing collections, I was like, oh, I need to add these to my lineup. But so I've thought about cards. I've thought about maybe journals or, you know, just the especially with the faith-based stuff that those are might be things that people look into. Yeah. Or, you know, the same people would be looking for, I guess, is mm-hmm. is more what I'm...
Yeah, I think journals could be a good option for you. It's a higher price point option. Mm-hmm. That one's a little bit more difficult to... Cards are very simple to get into just because there's so many options for printing and, you know, the mm-hmm. costs are low. The financial risk is lower than something yeah. like a journal or a notebook or something. That's not to say you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying, like, you'll need to kind of figure out what your audience needs and then what kind of cash flow you have available for production and research and development and all of that, and then what you want to tackle. But yeah, I think two art prints could be a good option for you. There's a lot of different routes that you could take this. So in terms of homework, I would like you to look at your existing collections, these collections of pins and stickers that you already have and you already sell, and look back through the numbers again one more time just to see where your sales are at. And then pick one or two that you want to dive deeper into and people that you want to really serve, and really analyze who that audience is that you want to speak to. And think about, okay, who's the end consumer that's going to be using this product, and what kind of problems do they have, or what kind of solutions can I provide to them through my products? And then think about the stores that sell to that end consumer and who might be your target audience there, because that's ultimately going to be who you're going to be building your mailing list up for, right? Mm-hmm. The type of stores that cater to that end consumer. So do a little bit of that homework on the back end of looking through your line, looking at your numbers, thinking about who that audience is that you're working with. And then the second phase is kind of honing in on, okay, well, this is where we get to dream big. What are all the different products that would serve this particular audience, and what would I be most interested in pursuing? And, you know, that'll take, you'll want to give yourself some time there to really do your homework and look at manufacturing partners and, you know, see what the numbers look like to see what makes the most sense. And please do it with an eye towards if I'm to wholesale this, because mm-hmm. I want you to always be looking at your numbers of, you know, what would my margins be if I were wholesaling, and then yeah. what would they be if it was retail? But yeah, I would say the first set of homework is that, like, looking at what's already working for you and where you'd want to dive a little deeper, and then thinking big, dreaming big about what new product category you'd want to layer in. And I would set some goals around it of, like, I'm going to pick one to start with, and I'm going to design, you know, 6 to 10 SKUs for that product. And then once I feel really good about how that's going, then I'm going to add another product in. But I would love for you to have over 12 SKUs in a new category, just so that you give buyers a variety of what to pick and mm-hmm. choose from. Does that make sense?
Sure. So for each product, like, say if I was to add art prints or cards, I would need to have 12 SKUs.
To start, I would want you to have 6, but I'd like you to build up to more than that.
So if I had, I'm thinking about my most popular collection right now. I have in this collection, I have 4 SKUs of pins already, and then a couple of other, like, some buttons and a magnet and stuff like that. And then I could add in that same collection, start with 6. Extra SKUs of cards or art prints or whatever. Yes. I decided yeah. to add. Okay.
Yeah. I think 6 would be, that would be the minimum that I would want you to have, like the bare minimum for okay. adding a new product category. And then, of course, building up. And if you need to fill in some of the other things you're doing, like if you don't have enough stickers or pins within that collection or who that mm-hmm. audience is, then add a few more to make sure that you're beefing that up too. Does that okay. help?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So your homework is to dig into what's working already and figure out what you can push further into, because the current data you have, even though it's on the retail side, that's going to tell you a lot about what people are interested in and then comparing it to what your passions are. And so I want you to be diving deeper into the things that excite you most, that are selling best. And then from there, analyze the audience of who is the market for this, both on the direct-to-consumer side as well as the wholesale side. And then think about what complementary products would be good to layer in. So it's kind of a three-step homework there for you.
Okay.
You think that's all doable?
Yeah, definitely. I can do that.
Good. I know you can. I can't wait to see what you do next. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I hope this was helpful.
Oh, thank you, Katie. I really appreciate your help.
Hey, friends. We are busy cooking up something really exciting just for product-based business owners. I'm talking about foundational building blocks for your business. Things like marketing, finance, HR, product development, and even mindset and leadership topics. All the necessary tools that you need to slowly and steadily build a strong business. Now, whether you're just starting out or someone who has been in the business for years, head over to prooftoproduct.com/labs to join our waitlist. I'll share more about Proof to Product Labs at the end of this episode, so be sure to stick around until the very end. Okay, guys, I hope you found that conversation with Tommy helpful. If you are finding yourself in this similar state of flux of making changes to your product line or wanting to add new product categories, like types of products to your collection, sometimes, most of the time, we just need to dial it back to the basics of business. And this is something that new businesses as well as seasoned companies need to think about. In fact, I've done it for myself multiple times throughout the last 9 years of business. But step one is look at who your current audience is. So one, how can we make their lives easier? How can we solve problems through our products? Or how can we even just add joy to their day? And you want to think about this from both the end consumer perspective as well as the wholesale perspective. So what I was talking about there with the joy and the making their lives easier, that is something that is much more congruent with the direct-to-consumer side, right? We're thinking about the person who is either gifting or using the products that they're purchasing, and how will that make them feel? How will that product make them feel? Or what types of solution will it provide in their day-to-day life? Now, on the wholesale side, we're talking to other business owners. So their thoughts and what their needs are different than the general public's, right? We're thinking about how to make it easier for those stores to order more from us. We're thinking about the types of products that they currently carry in their store and how our products would be a good addition to what they're already selling. We're also thinking about their end consumer, who shops from them and what they're looking for and how we're filling a need or solving a problem for this business owner. So for example, if this business owner is having a hard time finding a certain product category, but we make it, that's providing a solution for them, right? So step one is definitely figuring out or reassessing, if you've been in business a while, who is our audience? And I do encourage you to go back and do this pretty regularly just to make sure that you're speaking to the right people and your messaging is on point, because your messaging is going to be tied to who you're talking to, right? Now, step two in this whole expanding our product categories is really thinking about, now that we know who we're creating these products for, it's about like, what do we want to create? And this is where I want you to like truly dream big at the beginning. Think of all the different types of product categories that you'd enjoy doing. Like, what would you be interested in pursuing? And then we'll narrow it down from there. So like, seriously, take a big sheet of paper or a big wall sticky and just write down everything you would be pumped to do. Like, what would you be excited for? And then we should pick a handful of those and think about, what would each of these items cost to create? What do these items sell for on both the retail and wholesale side of things? What type of profit margin would each one have? And then two, which of these am I most excited about? And then once you have data for all of that, you can really weigh in what one or two things you'd like to pursue or move forward on, right? And then, like I said, step three is just choosing something and trying it out to see what works. So those are the three steps as you're expanding into new product categories. Think about who you're creating this product for. do the math and do the research to figure out whether or not it's a sustainable product and you can make the pricing and the margins work for you. And then three, step out of that comfort zone, try it, start with the small quantity and test the market and see if it's something you want to do. And if not, you can always make changes later, right? Pull it out or switch gears and do something entirely different. I hope you guys found this episode helpful. If so, I would love if you could subscribe to our podcast and leave me a note in Apple Podcasts and tell us whether you're enjoying the show. Those 5-star ratings and reviews, I read every single one, and I just really appreciate all of you guys for doing that. So anyhow, have a wonderful day. We'll be back next week with the new episode. Hey friends, last year we conducted a survey of our approved product listeners, our Paper Camp alumni, and even our general audience on social media. And we asked them, what are you guys struggling with? What do you want more of? And how can we serve you better in 2020? And one of the things that resonated in the responses was people wanted community. They wanted connection and they wanted trainings that were in more bite-sized pieces. And so instead of investing in a larger course or, you know, attending a conference that had multiple topics in multiple days, they wanted things that they could leverage throughout the course of the year and were kind of in smaller bits and pieces. And so we have been working hard behind the scenes to create a new community experience called Proof to Product Labs. And you guys, I am so excited about this. It is really leveraging all of the things that I love about our Paper Camp community, but we're doing it for a wider audience. So this will not be focused just for stationery businesses. It will be for any product makers. This will not be focused solely on selling wholesale. We will keep that in Paper Camp. So if people still need it, they can get it. But labs will be focused on strategy and business operations, hiring people, finances, all of the things that go into running our businesses on a day-to-day basis. And I'm excited because we're going to be bringing in guest experts for live trainings. I'm going to be doing office hours. We'll have community leaders that are chiming in with panels for their expertise. It's going to be an amazing thing. And I invite you to join our waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/labs. We'll be sharing more information as it's available, but right now head over and join that waitlist if you're interested in getting in on our founders rate and being one of the 100 founding members. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.